Hi, my name is Stuart Weems and welcome to the Investopoly podcast. My goal is to share easy to understand, evidence-based, holistic insights to help you master the game of building wealth. And in this episode, I'd like to talk about should you ever prioritize short-term in financial decision-making? And look, most listeners of this podcast will know that I have an absolute staunch commitment to adopting a very long-term approach towards making financial decisions. And whilst I firmly believe in this approach, I also realize that there are almost exceptions to every rule, and sometimes it's necessary to make short-term decisions. But I think those circumstances are very rare and infrequent, and there's a huge opportunity cost associated with taking a short-term approach. And this is what I want to talk about today. So I think there's really two major benefits of making long-term decisions. And what do I mean by long-term decisions? I think the best question you can ask yourself, best financial question, is what can I do this year, this month, this week, in order to ensure that in 10 years from now, I will be in a much, much better financial situation? And there's, I think, two benefits of asking a question like that that is so long-term focused as opposed to what can I do to maximize my wealth by the end of this calendar year? So the first one is that by asking that question, it forces you to really focus on fundamentals. Because in order to maximize returns over a 10-year period, you really need to find an investment that has such high quality fundamentals that the likelihood of average returns over the next decade are going to be, you know, really good quality. And therefore, it helps you drown out the really unhelpful and short-term noise that mostly dominates the media and other blogs and podcasts and these sorts of things. Short-term predictions or commentary, it might be interesting. It makes good dinner party talk, all those sorts of things. But from a financial decision-making perspective, incredibly unhelpful because it's very distracting. The second benefit of taking a long-term approach is it minimizes both risk and cost. So it's lower risk because if I make a decision to invest in a property, for example, or buy an ETF, both of which I'm prepared to hold for the next decade, then I've only got to make one right decision. You know, I've got to labor over that decision and make sure it is the correct decision. But once I've made that decision, it's one right decision. And then all I need is the patience to sit with that decision for the next decade to wait for the returns to materialize. And it's lower cost because I don't have to go and sell that investment in a year's time. For example, I hold it, I enjoy the compounding capital growth, and I don't pay any tax until, at least capital gains tax, until I actually sell that asset. Now, when you compare that to a short-term decision-making process, what you actually need to do in order to achieve superior returns is that you must accurately decide to what to invest in today, and then sell that investment for a profit in a few months or years' time, and then make the next decision on where to reinvest those monies in an equally attractive opportunity, net of paying for transactional costs and tax and so forth. And you need to do that consistently with each investment decision, because there's no room to make a mistake if you want to produce better returns than the long-term approach. So it's really clear that obviously taking a long-term approach is lower risk and lower cost. But also the opportunity cost is quite significant, because if I'm making these short-term decisions, it means I'm a step away or a step further away from making a good long-term decision. And we know that the power of compounding capital growth does most of the heavy lifting with building wealth over time. And so what I did is projected how an investment worth $1.5 million in today's dollars, so let's call it a property or whatever you want to call it, it's $1.5 million today. Now, if it grows at 7% per annum, and certainly most of the key property markets have grown by more than that over the past four decades, so it's a realistic number, 7% per annum. How will that asset change over time? And then what I did over the next 30 years is I broke it up into five-year increments. So how much equity would I get in that asset over the first 5 years, the next 5 years, the next 5 years, and so on and so forth? You kind of get my drift. And I've got the chart in the blog, which you'll find a link in the show notes, of course. Now, of course, there's a disclaimer here. My charting assumes return straight line. You know, I'm using a long-term average, of course. You know, you're going to have a period of 5 years where there's no growth and a period of 5 years where there's a lot more growth than you might expect. But the point is that you hold an asset for many, many decades, that'll all sort of smooth itself out. So in the first 5 years, the asset increases in value by over $600,000. So it goes from $1.5 million to $2.1 million. So that kind of works out $120,000 a year, not not a bad return. But if you fast forward to the fifth year, so between years 20 and 25 in terms of owning that asset, it appreciates in value by $2.3 million over that five-year period, which averages out about $460,000 a year, which that's in future dollars, of course. So after adjusting for inflation, that equates to about $270,000 in today's dollars. But there's not many short-term investment options that are going to give you $270,000 pre-tax each year if you hold it for a very long period of time. In this situation, all you need to do is make one right decision and then sit with that decision for 20 to 30 years and you will enjoy that compounding capital growth. So now that we know mathematically that taking that long-term approach is going to yield a much, much better result, why are some people fixated on making short-term decisions? Well, I think maybe one of the reasons is that banking a quick profit feels like you're making progress. You know, it's like a bit of a quick sugar hit, if you like. And in a way, some people might see it less risky as having to wait 30 years for the results. It's a little bit of instant gratification. But the simple maths show, the charts that I just shared with you, demonstrate that there's a huge opportunity cost with delaying beginning that investment journey. If I know I've got to wait 20 years to start really enjoying significant compounding capital growth, better I start that investment journey today than delay it a couple of years, because it's going to take 20 years no matter when you start it. So the sooner you start, the sooner you'll be close to the end of that 20-year period. Now, as I said at the beginning, there's exceptions to every rule. So when would it be useful or important or valuable to make a short-term decision? Well, I think when people are starting out their investment journey, particularly, you know, younger people that don't really have a huge asset base, they're just sort of starting out in terms of building wealth. Of course, they're probably the category of people that, you know, maybe can't afford to make a long-term decision. You know, maybe, for example, they're locked out of the property market because they don't have enough income or deposit or something like that. And I have actually written before about a stepping stone strategy. And of course, I've got a link to this particular blog and podcast on the website. And I talked about a situation where maybe for some people, they're better off buying in a secondary suburb, a house that they can manufacture some equity in. So something that needs a bit of love, you know, hopefully just some cosmetic renovations, kitchen, bathroom, flooring, walls, curtains, etc. Maybe a bit of garden, generate some equity, then sell that property and use that equity, kind of leapfrog them into the coin that a stepping stone strategy. And I guess in that strategy, what we're admittedly doing is buying a property that we don't think necessarily is a long-term keeper, but certainly exhibits opportunities for us to kind of supercharge the amount of equity that we have in that particular property. But while that might be classified as making a short-term decision, I think the really important point that I'd like to make is that you can pivot with that decision. So I can buy a property in a secondary suburb, do those renovations, and then if the market turns against me so that prices are coming down or it's not a good market to sell in, I can kind of pivot and into a sort of a medium-term strategy and say, well, you know what, I'll just keep the property for another few years until the market turns around. And that's quite distinct from saying a very short-term strategy would be to buy a stock that has little fundamentals just because we have some sort of tearful idea that it's going to increase in value. In that situation, if the market finds out or comes to terms with the fact that this stock has no fundamentals, it may never recover. And that sort of short-termism, I think, is really risky, and I think you should avoid it. But if you can make a short-term decision that gives you the flexibility to pivot to a medium-term decision, then I think it can be a suitable thing to do for some people. Now, if you do take that approach and do start making some short-term decisions, realize that you can become addicted to it. So even if you implemented what I just said, that stepping stone strategy, let's say you flip the house and only owned it for 2 years and make quite a bit of money, the temptation is to repeat that process, you know, because it worked out. And of course, you know, by definition, that's the whole thing with a short-term strategy. What you're looking to do is make a relatively high return, not a sustainable return, a relatively high return in a very small period. And the problem with that is it can become addictive because it sort of gives you that short-term sugar hit. you know, it's a bit of a dopamine hit, if you like, and you kind of get addicted to it and think, well, let's do it again and again and again. And the problem of doing that is, as I demonstrated with the compounding capital growth, is that you are further and further away from actually achieving that. Those strategies tend to be very active. You know, they take a bit of time, whereas a long-term compounding capital growth strategy doesn't take any time. You just got to forget the asset and have the patience to wait to enjoy the rewards. The other thing too is, if I keep flipping houses and trying to make a quick profit, for instance, and I do it every couple of years, you only need one to go wrong to potentially ruin the whole strategy. And when I say ruin the strategy, it just means you might not necessarily make an overall loss, but your overall return over many years can be well below average. And that's the problem with that strategy, is you need to be consistently right, and markets can change against you, which is challenging. So my advice to people, if they do take short-term decisions, if they feel like they're in a situation where they really do need to take some risk in order to build wealth faster, to get them into a long-term decision-making position, then set a deadline for doing so. So for example, particularly if you're young, you've got a bit of time up your sleeve. So you might say, look, I'll do this for the next 5 years, but no longer. And if you're a bit older, you might say, look, I'll just make this one decision to try and supercharge, you know, my investment returns. But regardless if it works out, the next decision I'm going to make is going to be a really good quality long-term decision. Look, to wrap it up, there's really only two necessary ingredients for a successful investment strategy. The first one is quality assets. You can't expect above average returns from below average quality assets. So quality is key. The second one is time, and time is irreplaceable. So therefore, investors should be very careful to avoid wasting time pursuing inferior investment strategies or approaches. And as Charlie Munger says, which is Warren Buffett's business partner, unfortunately passed away last year, his quote is, "The big money is not in the buying and selling, it's in the waiting." And I'll leave you with that. Until next week, bye for now.